Romans chapter 15, and when you get there, or while you're looking for it, quick update on my dad. I know a lot of you have been praying for him, you've been checking on him and asking me about him. Last night I got there about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. He was clear, he was doing well. He went to bed at a normal hour. He actually told me he didn't like the movie we were watching, so we had to change it. He got up this morning about 5:30 or so, about 5 o'clock, I guess. Alert, lucid, clear, doing very well. I think he's still got a ways to go, but I'm hopeful and I'm happy. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for him. Praise the Lord. Man, wasn't that good singing? You know, I like the songs. I like the music. But I like the words better. I like praising Jesus Christ for what he's done for us. I want to be thankful this morning. This is the beginning of Thanksgiving week. And I'm thankful that we have a country that made it a national holiday. That thrills me. It gives me great joy. It gives me great comfort to have a place where I can come back and say, thank you, God. And my country recognizes it. Now, I realize that a lot of this country is losing the focus of who they're supposed to be thankful for or who they're supposed to be thankful to. I understand that, but I'm thankful that there is a place where I can be thankful to God and I can say it out loud and do it publicly and just, I find it unique and thrilling. It's my favorite holiday of the year. It's the one holiday I really, really enjoy. I always enjoy days off. And now that I'm retired, all my days are days off, if you will. But I like Thanksgiving. And I want to be thankful this morning. In fact, some of the things I want to say this morning have a lot to do with thankfulness. Thankfulness in some things I see and some things I would like to point out this morning. In Romans chapter 15, I'm going to start reading in verse 1 and read through verse 14. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all ye Gentiles, and laud him all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you're a good God to us. You're a wonderful Savior. Lord, we do not understand the extent or the greatness or the magnitude of what you've done for us or what you're planning to do with us. But we praise you this morning. Thank you for your word. Pray that you bless it to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Give me the right words to say this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to mention two verses in this passage that I read. Sort of goes along with what I was speaking about a couple of weeks ago. Verse 4 talks about hope. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I love hope. I like hope. And then verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And I sort of think that refers back to verse 4, because what are you going to believe? You're going to believe the scriptures. In believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Those were just blessings to me. I just had to repeat them. That's not what I'm going to talk about this morning, but I just, such a thrill. Patience and comfort of the scriptures. What a place to go. What a hope. What a place to base our hope. What a place to start our hope. What a place to found everything on. The scriptures. And the Holy Ghost, by believing, would make us strong in hope. Remind us over and over again, child, believe what I told you. It doesn't look right now. It doesn't seem that way right now. It doesn't seem like it's going to work out, but believe what I told you, because I am the one that's finally in control, and I will bring it to pass. But I want to look at verse 14 this morning. A little bit different in my way of thinking this morning, and Lord put this on my heart, and I was thinking about it. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. I don't know that I can explain being filled with all goodness. I mean, verse in chapter 3 of this book, he says that there's none good, there's none righteous, but he tells the Romans you're filled with all goodness. I think he's talking about intentions. I think he's talking about desire to serve God. I think he's talking about getting up and wanting to go and be a part of God's people, part of God's church. He's talked a lot about in verses, in chapters 12 and 13 and 14, serving and being a servant and having the different ministries and the different gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit, serving and doing different things, whether prophecy to prophesy, whether ministering to minister, whether giving to do different things. He spends a lot of time in verses in chapters 12 through 14 and even a little bit in this chapter talking about the mind, the mindset, how you're going to do things. How do you think about things? What are you trying to do? Do it with the right intentions. Do it with the right heart. Do it with the right perspective in what you're doing. Think about this. And I think that's what he's referring to. Because Lord knows none of us are good. And he made that point. So I think that's what he's talking about, not talking about how good we are or how good we've become because we're believing in God and we're trying to, hopefully we're doing gooder than we used to do. That's probably not a very good English word, but it works, okay? But I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about that desire to serve God, to be a part of the church, to be a part of his body, to be a part of his work, to be a part of his ministry, to be a part of that group of believers that gather together to give him glory and honor. Amen. And I think you can find that in the context if you look for it, if you'll try and check it out. Then it says, filled with all knowledge. Now I doubt that any one of us are all filled with all knowledge. I know some of us think we are, some of us act like we are, but I think every one of us realizes we have certain places we just don't understand. I know I do. I know that in this church, I have met some people who are much smarter than I am, much more studious than I am, much better students of the Word of God, much better students of almost anything. I'm not a good student. I read a lot. And I'll read it 4 or 5 times, maybe 20 times before I get it. And then sometimes I'm reading the Word of God and I can still see something new, even though I read it 100 times. That's a good thing about the scriptures. God can always talk to us. God can always teach us. Amen. Being filled with all knowledge. Well, let's take that generally, like we were talking about goodness. Do you have a good understanding of scripture? Do you have a good understanding of God? Do you have a good understanding of what God's doing? Do you have a good understanding of how the church works? Do you have a good understanding of how to please your neighbor, your in the church, this fellow Christian, your brethren? I think these are things that we ought to know. He talks about earlier being filled with hospitality. and given to hospitality and being hospitable. And we ought to be that way. We ought to be considerate of our neighbors, especially the neighbors that we have in the church, our brethren and our sisters that we see here. I am not one who advocates that churches take on all these ministries of giving things away. I know that there's poor people out there. I know that there's people that are hurting. I know that there's a lot of things, but that's not the way God set it up. But God did set it up that those in the church should be taking care of the people in the church that are hurting. We do have that responsibility. We do have that direction from God. We do have that direction. If I have somebody in my family, it's my responsibility to help them when they're going through some hard times. If I got somebody in the church, yeah, that's our responsibility to help them. And God's going to touch different ones of us to do that. If we're willing to listen to God, I believe that. And I don't give a lot of money to beggars. I'm sorry. I just don't do it. And I have, but I don't see that as my ministry. I am willing to give them the gospel. I am willing to share it with them. And I've been chewed out by different people because I live the life of a king and I've got all these poor people around me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to give them the greatest riches the man ever found. Amen. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation of their souls. And that's what I'm going to give them. Being filled with all knowledge. We need to understand some things. We need to know some things as Christians in this church. In this assembly, in this group of believers, we ought to be knowing some things out of the Word of God, going back to where it says the comfort and pay of the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. We ought to know what it says. How are you going to find comfort? How are you going to find patience in the Scriptures if you don't read it, if you don't open it up, if you don't look at it? We need to know the Scriptures. We need to have knowledge of what God says. And this is something I preach in Mexico a lot. I try to get on the streets and preach, and one of the messages I repeat over and over again, take the Word of God, find out what it says, and believe it. Frustrating to me to talk to somebody who says, well, my Bible doesn't say that. Bring me your Bible. I'll show you where it does say that. I got no problems. I'll take your Catholic Bible. I'll take your 1960 or whatever the Bible you have and do my best to show you what God says in His Word. Amen. I believe in the Bible. I believe in knowing what it says. I was taught that from a child. I still believe it today. I believe it more today than I ever believed it before. It's the most important thing that you and I have to base our lives on, to base our hope on, to base our comfort on, Amen. To base our future on. The Word of God. We ought to be knowledgeable about what God has said. And I think that's what he's referring to. Then it says, able also to admonish one another. And that's really where I want to try and spend some time this morning. Able to admonish one another. This past weekend, I was in a different place. I went up to see Brian, went to a church locally. And best I can tell, it's a fundamental church. Sound, believes the Word, believes in salvation. Sweet people. And I listened to, this is the third service I've been with them. Listened to their preaching. And I was in pain. So let me start with a thankfulness to something I've been thinking about for a few weeks now. I am thankful for good preachers that I know and that we have here. Amen. Maybe you don't understand it. If you haven't been to a lot of other churches, you may not understand how rich this church is in preaching. Amen. I mean, we have five pastors who are some of the best preachers worldwide. That's my opinion. And I've been to churches in Germany, I've been to churches in Mexico, I've been to churches in other places in Texas and other places in the States, and I have never heard as many good preachers as we have right here in this church. Thank you, Lord. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. I thank Jesus Christ for that riches and that blessing. And I could thank a lot of other things, a lot of other people for their time and their training and the witness and the people that were willing to step in and do some things to get to the point where they could preach. Every one of these preachers started out mumbling and stumbling over it. Every one of them started out that way. Talk to Brian. Talk to Billy. Talk to Brent. Talk to Stephen. Every one of them tried to stumble and tried to figure it out, and they finally figured it out. They were willing to stand up and try. And we have good preachers because they were willing to try. And that's sort of the point I want to make this morning. Paul says here to the Romans, ye also, knowledge, goodness, ye also are able to admonish one another. I'd like to talk this morning a little bit about the open meeting. I realize that our form of meetings on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights is weird. I understand that. I've been in a lot of churches for many years where the concept of even having testimony time was odd. And when they had a testimony time, people didn't know how to stand up and share anything. Oh, I want to thank God that I had a really good week. And I'm thankful. Go for it. Praise God for the good week you had. Go for it. But to get them to the point where they could actually open up the Bible and share a blessing, they don't know what it is. I want to encourage you this morning. Encourage everybody here and everybody that hears me, anybody that can understand what I'm saying, that this is not only a fundamental piece of something that would help build this church and grow this church and make this church stronger, but I think it's essential for the future of the church in general. That's my way of thinking, and I want to try and share that with you this morning. Most of the churches that we find in this world have a lead pastor or a single pastor. And I look at these churches, and I've been in some was in the church in Del Rio for 18 years. Active, participating. And when the pastor got sick, who takes over? You ever think about that? Who fills in the gap? Well, they call another preacher, call up a deacon who might have a little bit of ability. Recently, I heard about a church here in town where the pastor died and couldn't function anymore, and so they were looking to figure out how to get another pastor and going through the old Baptist way of doing it, and I'm not going to get into all that. But during the meantime, they had seven deacons, and they were trying to get them to fill in, and I heard a few of their sermons, and these poor guys are trying. But they don't have a clue. I listened to a preacher here recently, and he had a desire to preach. He had been called to be the pastor. He was serving in the church. He was getting up on Sunday morning in the Sunday school and Sunday morning in the meeting, and on Sunday night he was doing it, but he was reading his sermons and trying to add in and ad lib with it because he just doesn't have the experience or the understanding or whatever it takes to do it. I was reminded again that I'm thankful for preachers that know how to preach. Not everybody can preach. I understand that. Not everybody's called to preach. I don't know that everybody's called to stand up and share in a meeting, but I sort of tend to think that way. If I can encourage everybody in here to be a participant in the open meetings on Sunday night and on Wednesday nights and whenever we have them, like next Sunday, we're going to have a Thanksgiving meeting, and we need to have people who are willing to stand up and share out of the Word of God a blessing, a thankfulness to God for something, and it needs to be based on the Word of God, on the Scriptures, and on the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to do that. Amen. Do you know that Paul said you're able to admonish one another? The open meeting concept has been taught here for years. And I'm surprised often how many people don't get it. Oh, they get the concept, okay, I'm supposed to share or I can share. But they don't feel like they get anything. They don't feel like they have anything to share. They're afraid to stand up. They've got all sorts of excuses. I get it. I've been there. I would like to change that this morning, if I can. I realize I'm preaching to the choir. If any church that I've ever been to understands all anything about this concept, it's this church right here. But even so, I find people here who won't share. I find people here who are afraid to share. I find people here who just don't do anything. When I was teaching Sunday school in Del Rio many years ago, I tried to get the people to bring me a blessing that they had received during the week from reading the Word of God. Just open the book and say, I got a blessing out of this psalm, out of this verse, out of whatever. And I'd like to start with that here this morning. I wasn't quite sure how this message was going to go. I had my idea. So bear with me. Patience and comfort of the scriptures. Do you know how comforting the scriptures can be? I was trying to calculate. I think it was 38 years ago. Don and I had gone to Mexico. We're living in Guadalajara, going to language school. Had an old beat-up pickup. And it had been given to us to go. I was very thankful for that pickup. I'm not bad-mouthing it in any way. Don and I had started. We were going to school. We were getting close to the end of the semester. I think it was about 4 weeks left, 3 weeks left before the end of the semester. And I got up one morning. We got ready, got the kids ready for their day and for what they were going to do. I walked outside to get ready and be ready to take Donna to school, and the truck wasn't there. And I normally parked it in the same spot right in front of the door. And I walked back in and said, Donna, what'd you do with the truck? And she, like the smart aleck Kincaid she is, I put it in the closet. The problem with getting into the Kincaid family is it changes you not for the good, for the bad. Anyway, that's enough picking on my wife. My truck was gone. So for a month, however long language school was left, we were riding the bus everywhere in town. Ride the bus to language school, ride the bus back, ride the bus to the grocery store. Everything we did, we were riding the bus. I mean, we were becoming native. We caught up bus tickets and rode the bus all the way to Laredo, Texas, where we were picked up. We made it here. And for a month, and for the first few days I was here, the thought was on my mind, I don't have any money. I can't go buy a vehicle. I mean, I thought the Lord was doing really good to me when He gave me that one. I was pleased with it. I was happy. I have no complaints about it. He had given me that vehicle. And then He took it away. And you want to get, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I don't get it, Lord. How am I supposed to buy it? I have no money. What am I going to do? And you encourage yourself and you just keep going and you get up here. We had the meetings. And I think it was a Sunday night. Pretty sure it was a Sunday night. We're in that building over there. Don and I are sitting on the back wall. There was a lady sitting on the other wall. And during the course of that meeting that night, Lord's Supper had been passed. We'd taken our, done our, gotten to the open meeting portion. And a young lady stood up. And she read a verse, Psalm 72, verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And I can't quote what she said, but she said basically this. This was a blessing to me. I don't know if it means that God is the only one who does wondrous things, or if everything He does is wondrous. But either way, it was a blessing. And she sat down. I still remember that to this day. It touched my heart. It changed my life. It had an effect on me because what God was doing to me in Mexico, stealing my truck, taking it away, making me ride on a bus, was a wondrous thing. Huh. Do you believe that? Can you get a blessing out of the Word of God, some little thing that's said by the Word of God? And what she did is she got that blessing, that small little verse, that wonderful little verse, and all she did was stand up and share it. She didn't preach on it. She didn't make a big deal about it. She didn't say, all she said was, this was a blessing to me, and it touched my heart. 38 years ago, it still touches my heart. I still believe God does wondrous things. I still believe God's doing wondrous things. I still believe God is doing wondrous things in your life and in my life and in the life of this church and in the life of everybody we around us. God does wondrous things.
Amen.
What would have happened that night if she hadn't stood up and shared that? Did you ever think about that? Where do you fit in the open meeting? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think that God gave you a blessing so that you could give it to somebody else? That's the way I think. When I moved back here from Del Rio, I had to revert. I'd been many years outside of this type of assembly where they had open meetings where different people could share. And I had to revert back to thinking differently. But I made it a point in my mind, I am going to look. I had an established habit of getting up every morning, having private time, reading my Bible in prayer, and having a private time with my wife. But in my private time, my personal private time, I made it a point, I'm looking for a blessing to share. I didn't always get one. And it may be that I have more ability than some of you. I have the advantage of having a great preacher for a father. I have the advantage of being around many good preachers. And I have the advantage of having somebody who taught me and being in churches where they believe that the Word of God was worth sharing and worth preaching and worth talking about and worth trusting and believing. Those are big advantages. All of that you have here. All of that. Can I encourage you individually, every one of you individually, to look for a blessing to share? Interesting thing that says that, it's talking about, I think, and I forget where it is right now, that we need to find a job and work so that you can take care of yourself and have to give to others. Do you ever think about reading the Word of God so that you can have to give to others? This church needs that. I need it. I know that some of us look at our preachers and our pastors and the people that preach really well and say, they don't need me to give them a blessing. Oh, yes, they do. Oh my goodness, how much greater is it when Billy gets a blessing from somebody out there and it just touches his heart and encourages him. He needs the same encouragement you do. I need it. Brian needs it. Stephen needs it. Brent needs it. Every one of the leaders here need it. Oh, how thrilled they are when somebody stands up, some simple little blessing. Oh, God does wondrous things and it reaches down and touches the heart and changes their life for 38 years. And you can do that. That's what I got out of that verse. And ye also are able to admonish one another. Now, admonish comes off as a little bit harsher than just helping. But have you ever read 1 Corinthians where it talks about exhorting, edifying, and comforting one another? It also says in that same chapter, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15. Actually, I have it marked down, but I'm not looking at my notes, so excuse me. It says, ye may all prophesy, and I would rather that you prophesied with five words to edification, to exhortation, to comfort, so that somebody could be edified and built up and comforted and strengthened. That's what it's for. He says, exercise the gifts you have. Yes, exercise them. But be a part of the group. Be a part of the family. Bring something to share. Make it think about an open meeting like a potluck. You're going to bring something for everybody to eat. Even if they only have a little bite. Even if all you have is a little bowl. Bring it so that somebody can get a blessing out of it. Somebody can be encouraged by the scriptures. Somebody can grow thereby. Somebody can be comforted, because some people need some comfort. Some people need some exhortation. And some people just need to be built up. I not only think that's important as a concept, I think it's essential for the future of the church. This is me thinking, okay? But I am convinced that sooner or later, probably sooner than we think, the church is going to go underground. There's going to be persecution against Christians. There's going to be persecution against preachers. There's going to be persecution against people who stand up for the Word of God and for Jesus Christ. And they're going to run them out. They're going to try and put them underground. They're going to persecute them. They're going to kill them, just like Paul was doing. We have lived in a bubble in this country for so many years, and I'm thankful for the bubble. I'm thankful that I had all this time of freedom and all this time of freedom to be taught and to learn how to grow and learn how to do. But one of these days, the church is going underground. Do you remember 3 years ago when we had to start having house meetings because we couldn't meet here? You think that's too far-fetched? They did it. They attacked churches for meeting in spite of what they were saying. Right. The fight is on. What are you going to do when you don't have Brent or Billy or Stephen or Lyndall or Brian to bring you that good message? Who's going to bring it? Eddie's in Mexico. Somebody else is over there. Billy's in jail. They've run Brian out of town. I'm not picking on Billy. What are you going to do? Can you help? I'll tell you this, if you've never tried to be a part of the open meeting, if you've never tried to share a blessing, if you've never brought something for other people to be blessed by, you're not going to be a help then either. You got to start somewhere. Now I realize that not everybody can bring a message, maybe like me or Billy or Brent or Brian or Stephen or whoever. We got some good preachers here. But I listen to different people stand up and they just share a blessing. And I get encouraged. I sometimes walk away and think, wow, what a message. I have been inside open meetings here in this church. Probably more over there, but I've been here in both sides of this auditorium, where I've heard heresy. Somebody stands up and takes advantage of the open meeting and they preach heresy, and the church body stood up and shut him up. Yep. I thrill to that. I thrill to see the Holy Spirit of God moving among his people and preaching a message to the people of God, not through the preacher, not through the head deacon or the head preacher up there, but through his body. That's what we need here. If I can encourage you to be a part of that, to get into that, to learn how to do it, you're going to make mistakes. Yes, you are. But try. Say, I want to be a part of the functioning, living body of Christ, letting the Holy Spirit of God bless other people, feed other people, encourage other people, exhort and comfort other people by the Word of God. I would like to encourage you that. Take that step. Step forward. Do something about it. Three quick things. Number one, you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that personal relationship with Jesus Christ needs to include time in the Word of God and time in prayer so that God can talk to you and actually give you a blessing. Sometimes you won't get a blessing. Sometimes you may get a rebuke. And sometimes you may not need to share that rebuke. But you, if you start looking for it and you start planning for it and you start opening your Bible and looking for a blessing for God to share that you can give to somebody else, God will give you a blessing. Okay. I'm afraid to stand up in front of other people. You know what? I'm not a nurse. Scares the daylights out of me to have to try and nurse somebody. My wife does it very well. But I have had to nurse people. I have had to stop the bleeding. I have had to put a bandage on. I have had to do some different things. We can all learn to do something we're not good at. Amen. We've all had to learn to stand up to our kids and say no, right? And they look up with those big sad eyes. There's all things, all sorts of things in this world that we don't want to do, we don't like to do, that are gross and gory and all sorts of difficult things to do, but we still have to learn how to do them at least to a little bit, to at least to a certain amount, and all of a sudden God opens the door and says, you're good at this. Make it a point to be a blessing to somebody else. Open your Bible and read it. Open your Bible and talk to God. Open your Bible and say, Lord, show me something here that I can be a blessing to somebody else. And then when you don't have anything, you're just hurting, you're down and you're depressed and you just don't know what to do, and you come to the meeting anyway, hoping that somebody else was actually looking and they have a blessing for you. And because you were looking, because you were searching out the Spirit of God, because you were trying to find out what God had for you, He didn't give you something that you could share, but He brought something that somebody else brought. And He filled your need. I've seen that many times. I have seen the Holy Spirit of God preach a message. I mean a message. And not one of the elders stood up. Do you look for that? Have you ever noticed it? I would like to give you a concept, an idea, a vision of you being a part of a functioning body of Christ. Sharing in a meeting. Okay, you're not the preacher. You may not be very good at standing up and speaking. Some of us are and some of us aren't. And I'm not very good at standing up on the street and preaching. But I do it. And the more I do it, the better I get at it. The more I do it, the more willing I am to do it. The more I do it, the more I like doing it. The more I do it, the more I love doing it. And I don't want to stop doing it. I preach in a language that's not my native tongue. And I make terrible mistakes. And I have some people that are loving enough to correct me. But I'm still going to do it. I want to do it. I want to share that. I share in the open meetings there. I share in the open meetings here. I want to encourage you to share. But you need to get in the Word of God and look for it. You need to ask God to give it to you. You need to learn to be discerning enough to know when or not what you have is actually going to be a blessing and an encouragement. Or whether you just need to keep your mouth shut. Yes, there are things. And you're going to make mistakes. Don't be afraid of mistakes. Having worked in Mexico so many years, was asked by so many people, how do I learn to speak Spanish? I started to get tired of the question. I'll tell you how to learn to speak Spanish. Go find a house where nobody speaks English. Live there for a month. And you don't eat unless you learn how to talk. Now, do you think they're going to make mistakes? Oh, yes. They're going to make mistakes. Just like a baby makes mistakes. Get over it. Be willing to make a mistake. Be willing to be a fool a little bit if you have to be. Be willing to be a little bit embarrassed because you didn't say it right. Your tongue wouldn't form it right. You got up there and you shook. I have literally stood up on the street getting ready to preach and my knees were knocking together. So what? There's a purpose. And I believe the day is coming when we're going to have to be meeting by ourselves and meeting in secret, meeting in different places. And if we haven't learned to share with each other and edify each other and comfort each other and exhort each other, we're not going to make it. We're going to be out there all by our lonesomes in our houses, hiding from the authorities or hiding from those who are persecuting and going after us, and we don't know how to help anybody else. I'm out of time. Can I encourage you? Make the open meeting. Make that functioning part of the body where you share and you give us a blessing and you bring the Word of God. And it has to be the Word of God, okay? Not just your opinions, not just your thoughts, not just what you're thinking, not just what you feel. I don't care about what you feel. What does God say? Bring it. As poor a speaker you may be. Just like that lady. I got a blessing out of this verse. And she read it. And it's blessed me to this day. It will bless me for many years to come. God changed my circumstances. I have been blessed marvelously ever since. I believe with all my heart that God does wondrous things. And I was reminded by a lady who doesn't preach. She doesn't do a whole lot of other things. But she was willing one night to open the Bible and say, God gave me a blessing. I'd just like to share it with you. Good morning.